Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And we're starting with a little trivia today, all right? In 1976, the Guinness Book of World Records named The Who the world's loudest rock band. Deep Purple and Manowar have also held that distinction. But then the Guinness Book of World Records stopped celebrating or honoring that specific category out of fear of promoting damage to the ears. Talk about the crappy PC world we live in nowadays, damn it. If you can't have a world's loudest band, what can you have? Well, I got a new category today, a new category for the Guinness Book of World Records, the world's loudest podcast. And that's right, that's what we're doing today in honor of the world's loudest month, which is May, talking with Gary Spivak and Clay Bush of Danny Wimmer Productions, the promoters who put on some of the biggest and loudest rock festivals in the States in May, including Rock in the Range, Carolina Rebellion, Welcome to Rockville, and Northern Invasion. And speaking of which, Northern Invasion lineup was just announced on Monday. Soundgarden and Kid Rock are headlining the two-day festival taking place May 13th and 14th in Somerset, Wisconsin. Also on the bill, Fozzy. That's right, we'll be playing there, looking forward to it. Along with Offspring, Godsmack, Bush, Papa Roach, Alter Bridge, Pretty Reckless, Rival Sons, The Struts, so many more. If I named all the bands playing the third annual Northern Invasion, we'd never get to the conversation with Gary and Clay, the guys who put this massive festival on, and all the big festivals in the month of May during the world's loudest month. So do yourself a favor, go to northerninvasion.com, get your tickets. Go check out carolinarebellion.com, get your tickets. They literally just went on sale. You'll see the full list of bands that are playing the two-day rock fest for Northern Invasion. Full list of bands for Carolina Rebellion. Lots of great festivals coming up for the world's loudest month in May. You can come get your rock on in Somerset, Wisconsin with me and Fozzy, and of course the Carolina Rebellion with me and Fozzy, and everyone else on these incredible bills. But Gary and Clay aren't just talking Northern Invasion. They're not just talking Carolina Rebellion. They're talking Rock in the Range. They're talking about what they went through to get these festivals up and running. They'll take you behind the scenes so you can see what goes into putting on these huge festivals. We're going to get you ready for the 2017 Rock Festival season with Gary Spivak and Clay Bush, and we're going to do that. But first, we're going to take care of your health and fitness for 2017. You want to be in the best shape possible when May rolls around so you can mosh and headbang without pulling a muscle or spraining an ankle. That's why you need to jump on the DDPY program now. Plus, it's your opportunity to take advantage of a truly great deal that Diamond Dallas Page is offering this holiday season. Dallas loves Christmas, and that's why he's offering this crazy deal. Buy a max pack or a combo pack at ddpyoga.com/Jericho and get a second for 50% off. Yes, when you buy the DDPY DVDs, you also get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app, right? You know what DDPY has done for me, what it's done for Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall, Kane, AJ Styles, RVD, Corey Taylor, Rich Ward. They're all doing the DDPY program. And with this app, you can do DDPY anytime, anywhere, right from your phone or tablet. The app not only lets you do all the workouts right from your phone, it's also got a bunch of other cool features to keep you on that path to healthy living, man. You can use the DDP Yoga Now app to track your heart rate and calories. You can use it for pain tracking, measurements, and even progress photos. And DDP Yoga Now app subscribers won't ever get bored doing the same workouts over and over again, because DDP has added completely new 2.0 workouts and weekly live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center. And like I said, Dallas's Christmas spirit is in full swing. He's offering you this incredible deal on DDPY. Buy a max pack or a combo pack and get a second for 50% off. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's all you got to do to take advantage of this great deal. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Change your life today. Get in the best shape physically and mentally, and do it today. And hey, Talk is Jericho fans, I know you love to be the first to know what's up with this podcast, who the guests are going to be on any given show, and when and where the next Talk is Jericho live podcast is going to take place. That's why Podcast One has created a new automated email system to make sure you never miss a single episode. All you got to do is go to www.podcastone.com/Jericho to sign up, and then we'll take care of letting you know exactly when a new show is out, who the guest is going to be, give you all the pertinent details that you need to be the biggest Talk is Jericho fan in the nation. Sign up now at podcastone.com/Jericho. That's podcastone.com/Jericho.
Talk is Jericho.
More shots with Grohl. I'll tell you one thing about Grohl. We went to the Clive Davis Grammy party last year, and they weren't selling any more liquor, but I paid the waiter $100 to buy me and Grohl some shots, to give us some shots, and he said he was going to pay me $50, but then I never saw him again for the rest of the night. So Dave Grohl, you owe me $50 if you're listening to this. I want my money. But Gary,
14th.
I just want to hang out with him again.
Yeah. But you were just telling the story about when you met Paul McCartney. Gary, tell me that again.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Beatles freak, and I'm one of those Beatle nuts, and I know everything about them, and I probably have 200 questions for them. But I would just come off as some you know, it'll be awkward. I'm some like uber freak fan.
Yeah.
So all I could say to him was just thank you. That's all I could say. And he even heard that before.
I'm sure. Know? Yeah. But I'm sure you get to the point, even for him, he probably still appreciates it.
Yeah. You no, know? He was, I had eye contact with him.
Yeah.
You know?
You got your point.
Yeah. I don't know if the same could have happened with like a John Lennon or George Harrison, but Paul seems to be the most approachable.
You know, it's interesting because talking with Lars, I remember a few years ago when I first started kind of knowing him a bit, and I told him the same thing. I think when you meet your big idols, that is always the first thing that you say is like, hey, thanks for the music. And I remember saying to him, you've probably heard this 1,000 times. He goes, yeah, like, yeah, but it's so much more enjoyable now that I'm on the other side of when I'm in my 40s and 50s than I was when I was 20. I think when you're younger, you kind of just, yeah, whatever. But when you're older, you do appreciate that you're influencing people's lives with your work.
Well, number one, that was a really good Lars Ulrich.
I could do a great Lars.
And number two, no, if I went to Paul McCartney, like, all right, I'm Paperback Writer. When you did that bass line, and you just come off like...
It's too much, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. Or, you know, Lars, when you did that drum hit on Sabatru, you know, did you do that in one take? Or...
So we're here with Gary and Clay, and this is a very interesting for me, and I'm really glad we got to do this because you guys are... higher ups, heads of state for Danny Wimmer Productions, and Danny's not here, so we'll definitely be insulting him the whole time. Which to me, it's a very important thing because everyone, especially if you're a musician or fans of music, which we all are, for years, the summertime comes and all the bands go to Europe because you have Download and you have Wacken and you got Hellfest and you got you know, Roskilde and you got all these big shows, and there was never anything like that in the States, and now suddenly over the last few years or so, we have the big destination festivals here in our country, and I think that's specifically because of what you guys have been doing with DWP.
Well, when we sat down a decade ago, as music fans and to chart our world and try to put flags in the sand, we said, okay, there's Coachella, there's Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza, right. Austin City Limits, that kind of alternative dance, pop, alt-rock lane is taken. Who's putting on the rock festival? And I don't mean like metal or punk, Warped Tour, or Ozfest back then. Just like rock and roll. You know, we felt there was... We wanted to serve the underserved. We felt that this country, North America, was being really underserved with that. So we said, let's not do it in New York or L.A. or even Atlanta. Let's do it where they will truly appreciate it. And... I remember we put out a map of the United States, and we looked right in the middle of it, and it was called Independence, Missouri. Like, let's do it there. And then I knew one guy. It was me, Danny Wimmer, and a partner, Dale Williams, who's still a dear friend to all of us. And I knew one guy in that area, and his name is Joe Litvak, who's at AEG Live. And I called Joe, cold call him. He took it, and we have this idea. We want to put on a rock festival, a Coachella for rock. And we want to do it in Independence, Missouri. And he's like, love it. Don't do it there. I do a thing called Rockfest in Kansas City. It was just a big radio show. But I got an idea. What do you think about Ohio? And at the time, we were looking at Ohio because we're big fans of what we call feeder markets. So,
meaning what?
Columbus, Ohio. In a 2 to 3 hour drive from Columbus, you got Toledo, Akron, Cleveland, Cincy, Detroit, Grand Rapids, all these great rock and roll towns that had were being underserved. Mm-hmm. So we picked Columbus and we launched Rock on the Range. And from Rock on the Range, that led to Carolina Rebellion, that led to Welcome to Rockville, and that led to Northern Invasion in Minneapolis. And
that led to me getting a job.
Yes, most important thing.
Yeah, right.
And completely worthwhile.
They need someone to clean up the office now there's so many gigs coming in.
So that's our May, and we dub it the world's loudest month. Uh-huh. And every weekend between the last weekend in April to Memorial Weekend, there is destination rock and roll festivals. Mm-hmm. And didn't plan it to just be us, DWP and AEG Live, or just DWP, but hey, man, nobody else was doing it.
Right. So that's the thing to me. Like you mentioned, you know, like Lollapalooza, for example, which was great, but that was more of a touring festival. We had Uproar and Mayhem. Unfortunately, they're not around anymore. But those were always touring festivals. What I was talking about was like you hear about Download every year. And we've played Download 4 times, and you know, here's the 3 headliners, and here's all the bands, and people will be staying all day long, and they'll be getting up at 12 noon to go see the first band. Now we have that here, which we never had before, which to me is so special because I think a lot of rock fans weren't getting to experience that vibe of like a weekend where you go see as many bands as you can. Because when the weekend's done, the show pulls up and leaves. It's gone for the next till the next year.
Well, especially the rock festival genre, because it is, you can cast this net and go really hard right with a Lamb of God and a Megadeth, and you can go left with a Soundgarden and a Perfect Circle, and then you go right down the middle with a Papa Roach and Chevelle,
right,
and put Fozzy somewhere in the left to the right. Right, and the, but it's a spectrum of rock, unlike other festivals, which is so widely diverse, and we feel sometimes too widely diverse. You have Jack Johnson and Skrillex.
Sure,
you know,
but that is more of a Coachella type vibe, or was Bonnaroo. That sort of thing. Whereas you,
sorry if I left out Bonnaroo, great festival.
A great festival too, but also very eclectic. Whereas, you know, you're talking about, let's say, Rock in the Range, it's all things rock. But what I like too is you'll have a Def Leppard, or you'll have a Warrant or something like that, along with the Lamb of Gods. And it's kind of all the spectrum of what rock and roll, hard rock is. You kind of find something for everybody.
Well, you nailed it. You said all things rock. You said, and that's a theme we kind of use here, is we're not a genre. We're not, you know, we love the Warped Tour, but the Warped Tour is super segmented to who that is.
Sure.
Our job and our responsibility is to give our fans that are coming to the show every piece of rock and roll culture, not just the music, the food, the culture, the drink culture, the fashion culture, the video game culture, just the experience of what makes rock and roll so incredible. That's our responsibility. So it actually starts with the overall experience. Danny and Gary create these incredible bills, and then it's up to us to kind of super serve that core, so they understand that, hey, you got a Lamb of God here, you may not like them, here's a Pierce the Veil, or here's a Fozzy, or here's a Bring Me the Horizon. You can kind of swing both back and forth. Or if you, hey, listen, you don't like those bands, you've heard them before, then go to our bourbon tent, you know, if you're at Louder Than Life, or go to the Rock in the Range Craft Beer Village area that we're working on this year. So there's a lot of cool things that you could get just besides the music.
Sure,
it's a celebration of culture. More.
Yeah, it's a whole experience.
Exactly.
At its core, we are rock festivals.
Yep. Right.
Unlike other festivals, it's just kind of like throw all these artists together and see if it sticks. We are rock and roll festivals, but you should talk more about what we dub secondary entertainment, because to us, the days of, you know, stale Bud Light and churros and corn dogs are over. It's great to have a bunch of killer bands, but there's
but
more.
But before we get to that, so let's go by the specific job. So, Gary, you are one of the festival organizers, the bookers?
Yeah, I'm the booker and talent curation of these festivals.
Curation sounds like you're working in a museum or something.
I'll take that.
I'm the curator. And then Clay?
I'm the vice president of marketing and brand partnerships. So everything from selling the tickets to working with the Jack Daniels and the Monster Energies of the world, that's kind of my response.
So how important is that to get the major corporate sponsorships for festivals like this?
I think, it serves two ways. One, it helps you pay for the show, but that's never our theme here. We have a theme here. We're chasing the experience rather than the check.
Right.
But it does help. It does help you pay for the show. But if you look at the brands that come to our events, they're very specific brands to who our core audience is. So, you know, I'm not working with, and I won't name the competing whiskey, but Jack Daniels and rock and roll go hand in hand. Monster Energy and rock and roll go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Jack Link's beef jerky go hand in hand. Budweiser, AB, whoever it may be. Those are all rock brands too, and our core demographic shares very similar demographics to them. So they're incredible marketing partners. They're incredible experience partners. A lot of them endorse the band, so the bands are excited to have them there. And then for me as a fan, there's nothing cooler than working with Jack Daniels, you know, and getting cool free swag. We got in the office here.
It's all over the place in here in your office.
Gift the guys that are at the show that really appreciate these brands that are there. It's really cool for us to be working close with.
So when you started off kind of the world's loudest month, it was just the one show in Kansas City. Oh, no, sorry, it was the show at Rock on the Range.
Rock on the Range was the first.
Now, how many is there?
It's Welcome to Rockville and Fort Rock in Florida. That's the last weekend in April. Next week is Carolina Rebellion. And the week after that's Northern Invasion, which we want to talk about. And then there's Rock on the Range, and it wraps up with Rocklahoma and Rockfest.
And River City Rockfest, which is San Antonio.
Texas area, right.
That's a Texas one. This year, same weekend as Rocklahoma. So the Florida shows kick off the world's last month, and then Oklahoma and Texas share a weekend, and it ends in Rockfest, Kansas City.
And Fozzy's on like three or four of these.
Actually, we're on Rebellion, and we're on Northern Invasion, and then I think we're on the three Texas ones that you mentioned. Is there three there?
You have San Antonio, and then Rocklahoma.
There's a radio show that I'm part of that's part of that weekend.
Weekend. So that might be that one as well. But so there's a lot of action going on.
Right.
Are you looking to expand to even more cities?
I'm going to say not in May.
I mean, throughout the course of the year.
And then in October, we have another series of
rock festivals. That's the world's second loudest month.
Yeah. It's called the Fall Feast, even though it's not
by the way,
not approved language.
It's not called Rocktober.
Yeah, it's not called Rocktober. Yeah,
I think every radio station in America has something called Rocktober. Yeah. Welcome to Rocktober, 92.63.
But you raise a good point about Europe, because we've noticed that we're a great kickoff in May, April, May, and then you shoot off to Europe, and then you can come back in October and still rock with us.
Mm. And those ones are Aftershock, Louder Than Life.
Rock Allegiance. In Philly this year, and then Houston Open Air, which we debuted this year. Unfortunately, we had some issues there. But that's
rain and stuff, right?
Not rain, lightning.
Oh, lightning.
You know, rain. The show will go on with rain. It's never about the rain. It's about cloud to ground lightning. And if you're in the middle of a parking lot and you have a bunch of staging around you, it's not the best.
And let me ask you, because that actually happened to us 2 years ago. We did Welcome to Rockville in Jacksonville.
Tornado came through.
And this was literally 10 minutes before I had all my rock gear on. I was warmed up. I was hanging up behind the stage, and they said, everyone's got to leave. And they started carting all of our stuff off. Mm-hmm. And there was a tornado, like you said. And everybody that was in the field, maybe it's 10, 15, 20,000 people, all had to evacuate and go stand underneath like a highway
overpass
for about 2 hours or so. How do you guys prepare for that, and how often does that happen?
It doesn't happen very often. We're constantly monitoring. I mean, we have an incredible team here that's what they do. They focus on it to make sure that not just fan safety, band safety, staff safety, everyone's safety is upheld. And we actually, it's a planning process. We do fire drills on site. We actually know the weather's coming. So, this could be possible wind, lightning, rain, whatever it may be. We're prepared leading into it. We're on the fly every 15 minutes knowing what the radar is bringing, working with meteorologists. We work with an incredible platform. But we're very much ahead of it. I think we plan more for those types of issues.
Well, you kind of have to, right? Like, there's so much stuff that we're thinking about, like putting on our festival, like who's the headliner is going to be and where's the sponsors going to be. But how much of that other stuff that people don't even realize? Obviously, you have to monitor the weather.
Yeah.
What other types of things that you have to worry about that us as fans wouldn't even think about?
That's really, really good questions.
That's a great question.
Yeah. How many porta potties, the fencing line, all that really, really boring, hard stuff that we hate to talk about, but it's crucial. How many golf carts, and do we have enough towels? You know, we really create a village, a city for these things.
The festival's more than Danny, Gary, Clay. It's you have Charlie that oversees our operations, and he has a giant team, and you have Damon who oversees our concessions, and he's got a giant team, and you have your accounting teams. You have you're working closely with the city and the CVBs, the police, and fire, and go down the list. I mean, everyone has a big role. You know, my role is to market the show and bring the brands in. Gary's role is to curate the town and make sure that we have incredible headliners to make my job easy.
Right. Talk is Jericho. Have you ever had any issues like you mentioned police and stuff? Has there been like a riot or anything like that, or any type of problems with?
Gary had the best quote actually this last weekend. We were in Santa Barbara with Michael Lang in the Woodstock. He got honored as Lifetime Achievement.
The actual dude from Woodstock.
And Gary did his speech introducing him for his Lifetime Achievement Award.
Very cool.
And I didn't know this, but Woodstock had how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. There were zero arrests.
Really?
And to that point, very similar to our events. I mean, you'll have one or two maybe, and those are usually guys that drank too much. It's not a fight. It's not touching, you know, sexually assaulting a woman or anything like that. We're a big community. It's respectful. I mean, you've seen the mosh pit. Someone falls down, pick them right up. And that's
the spirit of rock and roll.
That's the spirit of rock and roll culture.
There's this bullshit perception of hard rock festivals, and we don't see it. It is a killer community. It's a little dysfunctional, wonderful tribal community, and that's what it is. When you see that controlled chaos in a show, which you probably get off on, and I never gets old for me to see that kind of unified mosh pit. You know, it's that bounce,
energy,
and it's just. But it's not mean or mean spirited at all. So the perception that hard rock festivals are you better be careful out there.
Yeah,
we don't see that. And with that said, we completely have the proper security.
Yeah, and we do have the right medical. We have tons of
staff. You have to have that
just
as well.
In case,
right?
We're preparing for it. So
you always see that. I mean, somebody will fall or something's going to happen. Someone's getting carted off. It's life.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to be prepared for that. So let me ask you this, Gary. When you talk to the cat from Woodstock, is Michael Lang, right? Yeah. Do you go and ask him like advice, or like he's like, that's a pioneer? It'd be like, you know, a guitar player meeting, you know, like Eddie Van Halen or something. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. How
do you
Well, that was one of those Paul McCartney moments where you meet your idols. But he is a sweet, wonderful last. He's the last living hippie on earth. And we had met him. I had read the book, The Road to Woodstock. I'm like a Beatles fan. I'm also like a Woodstock file guy. I know all this weird shit about Woodstock that you shouldn't know about. And he immediately took our call. It was me and Danny. We went to New York, and when we were hawking Rock on the Range in its early years, trying to prove ourselves. And Michael met with us, and he said one great thing. I asked him for advice. I'm like, can you give me anything? And he's like, hire people who are better than you. Just hire people who know more than you. And great advice. Great advice. He was 23, 24 years old.
I can still see him in that Woodstock movie. He looks like
the
a little kid,
biker vest. And, you know, he was, and he taught me, without saying it, that if you're promoting a rock show, albeit 500,000 people or 20,000 people, you need to be the one who's sober. Because he was surrounded by guys on acid and people just effed up, including his partner who dropped acid. He didn't. I asked him. He didn't take a thing. He smoked a joint 15 minutes into Hendrix.
Too much pressure to get too wasted. You got to be in control, right?
It's a very uncredible, uncool move to have a beer in your hand when you're talking to the police chief.
That's a great point, man. That's a great point.
Not a good look.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Talk about safety. I mean, a drunk promoter is probably the most unsafe thing out there.
So people are partying, getting fucked up all around us. But yeah, come. You know, we have curfews at 11. Come 11:15. You'll see a pop in my hand.
it's interesting though, because sometimes things happen. I remember we played a festival in Kansas once, where unnamed band threw a bottle in the crowd. Somebody threw a bottle on stage. Guy picked up the bottle, threw it in the crowd. Girl gets hit in the head who was not involved. And then suddenly, because of the issues, the whole festival gets shut down. Is that something that could ever happen at one of your shows, or is it too big of a festival to get shut down by something stupid like that?
I think if the festival gets shut down when it's unsafe for the fan as the bulk. I mean, you're always going to have issues. You'll have a fight here and there.
Sure.
A guy looks at someone's girlfriend wrong, or you know the tough guy. Or the liquid courage guy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think you see a festival shut down if the entire festival space isn't safe for you, me.
If there was some kind of a riot, or like we saw some weather thing or whatever it may
be,
right?
Yeah, like I think you saw it when an unnamed band canceled a headline gig and when the support acts didn't help so much, when they said, you know, hey, we're canceling.
Right.
The show's over. Well,
the famous Guns N' Roses Metallica gig in Montreal, right?
That's when you have the problem. It's more so at that moment. I mean, we had a moment at Carolina Rebellion one year, you and me and Danny on stage, where...
Yeah, we had to call the show. It was the year before Fozzy first played. And, oh boy, Bush, Rise Against, Soundgarden couldn't play. I'll never forget. That was one of the saddest moments in my career. Seeing, I'm a huge Soundgarden fan, personally and professionally.
Right.
And they pull up in there, the black runner that we got for them.
Yeah.
And we were told we had to call the show because of rain and wind. It's rain we can handle, but it's that wind is sweeping and hitting water on stage. It's one thing to, have rain, but if there's water on stage and Chris Cornell twists an ankle, or God forbid there's electricity,
Even we've seen some of those stages collapsing over the last few years, the Dixie or Sugarland and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So we had to pull, and seeing that black car turn around and go fade away in the distance while rain's pouring on me sucked.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of that, back to Michael Lang. He's been to three of our festivals. And now, like I say, if you want Michael Lang, if you want to put on an event and you want it to rain, invite Michael Lang. He's 3 for 3. Rains every time he comes.
So Gary's batting 100 with him.
He's a witch doctor now.
He went to a conference. He went to Santa Barbara. It never rains. We were in Southern California where we need the rain. And it started raining.
So there, just take him where you need him.
Gary added that to speeches.
Where there's droughts. But so Gary, you're kind of working on putting together the lineups and stuff. And this is something that I speak about with Andy Copping, who is the promoter for Download. Great guy. And you know, every year putting together the lineup, because we talked earlier how the music business has changed. Now it's more about touring and playing. And there's so many bands that are looking for these slots. How many bands do you book each show, each festival? And what are you kind of looking for a band to get on the bill?
That's a good question. I would say predominantly we're somewhere between 45 to 60 bands for a festival. And
that's over a 3-day period.
Yes. Yeah. And So I'll do Northern Invasion as an example. 20 bands per day. It's a 2-day festival. 40 bands. We have, and it's our third year. We've out of the 40, 38 of them have never played Northern Invasion.
Hmm.
So that's really important to us. We all keep it fresh. It's not so much for us. It's more for the fans.
If
that band already played, I'll take a pass this year. So we really try to spread the wealth, and that comes with some hard conversations with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough, but you know, it's business, man. You know, we're not putting on a kegger. We're putting on these big festivals that we have to not only keep fans for repeated business, but we want to keep them. We want to get new fans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. We want to keep it fresh for the fans. We look for bands that don't suck. That's a criteria. We love songs. We love bands that bring more than just radio airplay. Fozzy's a great example. You guys bring more to a festival for us, the commerce side of it, the marketing, and how you deal with your fans and what you do outside of your performance. That's special to us. It's one thing for a band to kick ass for 35 to 45 minutes on stage, but is that it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, partake with us, be a partner with us, you know?
And I feel that too, because you have, let's say we're there for 8-10 hours. I go crazy, just half an hour on stage and then go back to the bus run. That's crazy stuff. You know, you want to be out there. And I used to say, and there's a lot of the guys that feel this way, like, what can I do? Can we have a signing? Do you need me to go do interviews with somebody? Can we go do some press? Because if not, you're just wasting time and it's not cool.
Right.
You know?
So there's that. And then there's a band like, you know, like a band like Starset, a new up and coming band.
Yeah.
But there's like this, the lead singer's really into Comic-Con and there's a scene that he's built for his band. So it's, we look for all that.
Mm-hmm.
So the number one criteria is be unique, be original, and don't suck.
Do you have, like, I've never known this for sure, but obviously there has to be some kind of, you can't watch all the bands, but do you have does a stage manager fill out a report on every band or give a review? You must have some way to, maybe it's a secret, but.
You know what it is? I have serious ADD, so I pretty much try to see every band.
Really?
Yeah, you'll see me running around, and I won't do a full set, but I'm gauging the crowd. I'm not so much seeing like, oh, here's my song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the crowd, looking at the vibe of it, and then I'll stay for a couple tunes and just get it, and then I'll move on to the next. That's my role.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a whole team of people like, oh man, Motionless in White just killed it on that stage. You missed it. They had a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, that singer was kind of off key today.
Gotcha.
You know?
We also have analytics too. So after the fact, I mean, we do get your merch numbers. We know if the band fans bought into you or not.
Wow.
And that's where, you know, a band like a Starset can surprise us. I'm like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
You guys actually sold a crap load of merch and you're actually competing some bands that are actually higher
up than you, right?
So it's you can't lie with data.
And to
Gary's point, the discovery aspect is what I get off on more than anything, where those first bottom two level lines on the festival ad mat is so cool to me and important to me. It's our future headliners. It's a band that 98% of the fans probably never seen before, and we've seen it grow with a band like Nothing More, which had no marketing, no record label, plays Aftershock, goes out of control as far as the way the fans were accepting them on the show.
Sure.
Where they get the next day, they play the main stage because we had a slot open because we believed in it. Now they've had two number one singles, maybe radio, and
that is a very interesting and something that a lot of people might not understand. And we've experienced this at Download, of building headliners. So our first Download, we were on like the fourth stage in the parking lot. Next Download, we're on the second stage. Next Download, we're on the main stage. Now we're on the main stage again, a slot up from the last one. I think Andy's. Will we ever headline? It's hard to say, but we're now a legit main stage attraction for him that he's built. Do you guys have to do that as well? And do you try to do as much
story.
As you can?
We have a couple. Hailstorm played noon on the Jägermeister stage. 2 years later, open the second stage. 2 years later, open the main stage.
Top
of back for us. Five Finger Death Punch.
Day to Remember. They're opening up the third stage, Jäger, closing the second stage, and having a moment this last
Jericho,
year.
That's it for me, dude. I it's one thing to have a Metallica or a Soundgarden, at a show. That's great. But to see a band rise with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're a decade in now, so we have these relationships with these bands, and we care.
That have grown.
As we said before, you push record. We're fans.
Mm-hmm.
we want to see this win. We want to see every band win.
Because it's like I was so sad when Uproar and was the other one
Mayhem
went down. It's bad for the fans. It's bad for the bands. That's why I'm so happy with what you guys are doing, because you could legitimately, if you get a good number of shows in May, that could be your month. You fill in a couple gigs here and there, but you could, the corner posts of the DWP shows. It's a dream for a band, because you know you're going to get at least 5-6 shows where there's 20,000, 30,000. I mean, I think Rock in the Range, the last time we played, was probably 80,000 people.
And you're going to get more than just the offer. You're getting an additional marketing team. You
know, sure.
You're getting almost consultants working with your record label or working with your booking
Everything
agent
is there.
To help sell the brand of every band that's playing the bill. And that goes back to my responsibility with FYE. They're looking to highlight the next wave of upcoming bands and looking to highlight the headliners of Rock in the Range or Rebellion or Fort Rock or Rockville, whatever.
Right, right.
So that's the fun part of it.
What are the biggest shows that you have? Is Rock in the Range the biggest one?
Yeah, Rock in the Range and Carolina Rebellion.
1 and 2.
We're 40,000 a day.
40,000 a day.
120.
Wow.
I know, it's wonderful. And to go back to yeah, there is a design that we looked at Europe. We saw what was happening and how, you're right, you go to Europe and it starts with, you know, Rock and Ring, then it goes to Download, then it goes to Pink and Pop, then Hellfest, and there's a run. We took a little page out of Europe, for sure.
Which was smart.
Yeah, again, there was just that underserved world here, and nobody else is doing it. We were fools enough to go for it.
And I think Gary, not to speak for you, but I think you and Danny actually looked at Europe as the way you were curating the bills too, because it's so different. Like, you looked at the traditional, like the Mayhems, you were super serving your core. You look at Warped Tour, super serving the core. Well, what people don't realize, before Warped Tour really went punk like that, you know, they're breaking Katy Perry on that tour.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know, so they're being tastemakers. So, you know, going to the point of what Europe does, I look at the European bills, I'm like, wow, you have Prodigy, Kings of Leon, and Metallica on the same. That is incredible as a music fan for me.
Yeah.
And I think Danny and Gary, and I don't want to speak for you, Gary, but I think you guys take a lot of the way they book to help, I guess, curate American rock and how we're ingesting.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. Mm. I agree with you. I know, confrontation.
A fight.
Yeah, here we go.
Because what I said about Jack Johnson and Skrillex, America's, we feels a little different. I don't know why. Maybe it's radio format where square pegs have to fit in square holes too much. And that pisses us off. But at least that's why we try to have Cypress Hill and Lamb of God. But at our core, we're rock festivals, and we can't jump the shark. We can't stray too far from that, because we'll just be like, oh, so what are you going to get? No Doubt next? Mm. You know, we're rock festivals. But we could kind of stretch it left and stretch it right.
Right.
You know, I'll fight somebody who was like, yeah, man, you should go for Radiohead, who I personally love. But it's just not going to work for
what we do. Let's look at the headliner for Carolina Rebellion. I believe, so it's Def Leppard, it's Avenged, and is it Soundgarden?
Yes.
So that's three different genres of rock and roll.
Very much.
And it's very much a Download, Andy Copping style, where you've got Soundgarden, huge band based in that 90s vibe. And then you got Def Leppard, which is 80s rock. And then you got Avenged, which is probably the biggest band that's not Metallica in this day and age right now. That's a great bill. Does it serve all fans? For I think the three of us in the room, it does. But there's some fans that go, Def Leppard, screw that. Or Avenged, I'm gonna screw that. But when they get to that show, I think everybody will be happy.
That's our goal.
Right.
To have this rock spectrum, all things rock. So, I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. Who knows?
No, I mean, we say the same thing. I wasn't saying we look at it like, oh, that's what we need to do. But you're influenced by it, the way you're challenging the genre, where you'll bring a Cypress Hill, you'll bring a Tech Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talk, you know, my dream, and I'm constantly spouting out here, is I love Run the Jewels. I would love Run the Jewels to play a DWP event. I think they're rock stars.
See, but I've never even heard that.
Yeah,
band.
But that to me, like,
badass, like hip hop. Yeah. Like,
okay, gotcha.
Like, Zach from Rage is on some tracks.
Okay, cool.
Like,
gotcha.
Really cool.
Yeah, but they're like Coachella darlings.
Yeah,
but yeah, they got the energy and like the umph to.
But I think
to
our
work.
Fans, I think our core would like that. So,
but, and plus, then again, I think Carolina Bale, and we played a few years ago, you had Kid Rock as the headliner the night we played, which is also not what you're expecting when you see the rock festival. But he's just as rock and roll as a lot of different people.
I agree with that.
And I'm sure there were people going Kid Rock, and then when they see the show, they're having a great time.
Yep.
You know, how do you decide who you want to headline?
It's you have a wish list, and it quickly dwindles. Kid Rock and Soundgarden are the headliners of Northern Invasion. We try to mix it up. We try to be eclectic, but keep in that rock lane, and I think Kid Rock brings the party. I think Def Leppard brings the party. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, these festivals are supposed to have just a
supposed to be fun
time.
Yeah,
right.
And so be a sexy show.
Yeah, right. But I think that's one thing for our band. It's like our vibe when we play is not like a Slayer vibe. We want to be Van Halen in 1979, where everybody has a good time. Yeah. And that's kind of the vibe of what a festival should be. You know, it's cool to see the Wall of Death, where everyone lines up and just charges each other. I'd rather see chicks' tits. You know what I mean? That's the type of vibe that I want to see, and drink some beer and have some fun.
Right.
That's Kid Rock in a nutshell.
Totally. And that's Def Leppard in a nutshell, too.
As well, sure.
Yeah. And Soundgarden's more like, you are listening. It's heady. You're going to watch.
Right.
One of the greatest singers of our generation.
Sure, of our generation.
He's just
right.
His pipes are so awesome right now, too.
So let me ask you, Rock in the Range, Metallica is one of the headliners. Is that something where would you like to have Metallica headlining all of them, or they were only available for that one day? Or
yeah, that was a 2.5-year process.
Because they've never done any of these shows before.
And between them and their wonderful management company, Q Prime, who just gets it.
Yeah.
With Rock on the Range, what you have at that festival, you have 65 radio stations not only there, but talking about you for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Metallica has a new record. They're just really smart. They get it. We Rock on the Range was proven to them. Like, we 5 years ago, we weren't ready for Metallica.
Now, what do you mean when you say that?
I don't think we were. Metallica could play the stadium in which Rock on the Range is held by themselves.
In Columbus by themselves, yeah.
They could. Right. But why don't we just do our own show was probably their answer 5 years ago. But now they see the value of Rock on the Range. They see not only what their big set, their headline set will bring, but all the other extras that Rock on the Range could bring. They have a new record. They're on top of their game, and Rock on the Range is on top of their game. So
you're talking about just from a promotional aspect and from a buzz aspect, a band like Metallica would feel that it's more beneficial for them to be involved with Rock on the Range than just doing their own stadium show in Columbus.
Yeah, they were just smart about it. They're like, we could do our own show there, or we could partake in this worldwide multimedia event.
Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of... it's kind of a cool thing to do as well, to be a part of this thing. You know, I remember I hosted the Golden Gods the last time I did it, 2013, and they played the Golden Gods, and they did it for free. But they wanted to be a part of the scene, be a part of the vibe, be a part of the giving back, I guess, to the metal community.
That is why they're the greatest hard rock band.
Right, right, exactly. So that's pretty cool. So that was a 2.5-year process.
Yeah, and... last year we had the band Red Hot Chili Peppers headline, and that was also Q Prime, and I think that was their big leg in the water with us.
Just to see.
And they saw, and we showed them how serious and how awesome Rock on the Range is.
And that's another very eclectic headliner for a rock festival, but I'm sure they went over huge.
Killed it. So
the Peppers are great.
The thing about Rock on the Range, if you've never been, is it is the most incredible crowd ever, just watching the pit move. I still remember watching Linkin Park and the crowd surfers just going off during Linkin Park and seeing Chester and Mike look at each other, turn their back.
Holy
shit.
They
looked at each other holy shit. Because Rock on the Range, just there's something about the energy in that stadium and the fans. And I mean, Red Hot Chili Peppers crowd surfing, going nuts. I mean, it was incredible to watch. And Metallica this year.
That's going to be crazy.
It's incredible.
I'll say Rock on the Range, because it's in the stadium, has this kind of 70s stadium feel to it, while Carolina Rebellion and Northern Invasion have that European
the fields
open space,
yeah,
green field, right?
Yeah, the fields,
so that's what I love about Rock on the Range, that it's not Carolina Rebellion or Northern Invasion. Those have that European kind of, again, that open space, while Rock on the Range just makes you feel like you're, you know, watching Zeppelin.
Yeah. Is there any concern, and that might be too strong of a word, about, let's say, 10 years from now, who's going to be headlining the big festivals? Have you seen some bands? I mean, obviously, we talked about Avenged and we've Five Finger and Slipknot, you know, that sort of thing. But what happens when you know, Sabbath is done and Maiden is done and heaven forbid, Metallica doesn't play anymore? Are you already kind of thinking about that, or are you hoping that something changes in the world of music? Or we talked about earlier, cultivating the headliners.
Man, just trying to get to May next year. Yes, we definitely are concerned about where are the headliners for the next 4 or 5 years, and we're at least trying to do our part to cultivate these bands, these Five Finger Death Punches and Volbeats, and hope that Fozzy keeps on going to the next level with us. That's really important to us. But sure, we're concerned about North America and why. Look, to me, rock and roll has always been about the wrong side of the tracks. It's always been about the group of kids on the grassy knoll at high school, the uncool ones, right?
Yeah.
That's rock and roll to me. And we'll never be the sexiest girl in the room. And again, that's the power of rock. But what concerns me is like how the lack of respect that the rock community gets, period. It's kind of a silent majority. But look, we're here. We ain't going anywhere. So,
which is great, because I think it's always been that way. I mean, rock and roll has never been respected. I mean, even to this day, there's still, you know, when Kiss got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2 years ago, people still bitching about it. It's like, come on, dude, it's Kiss. Yeah. If you can't give a Rush, if you can't give Rush or Kiss or Deep Purple their props, come on, man. You know what I mean? So I think rock and roll has always had that stigma of being kind of the uncool thing, but that's why it's always attracts. We're like moths to the flame, no pun intended. Like something like this, you know, if you build it, we will come.
When rock gets cool and becomes over pop culture, that's when the floor drops.
Yeah.
You know, when you got Kardashians wearing Slayer merch, you know you've crossed over a little bit. But Kardashians wearing Slayers, and then
Holt
wears Kill the Kardashians shirts on stage. He was at actually one of our shows.
He sells them actually at the merch stand. Kill the Kardashians, the Gary Holt brand.
But you can see the culture of how it still crosses into pop culture, especially brands like Slayer, Metallica, Maidens of the World, Avenged Sevenfold now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for me, you know, I'm a little different. And not to disagree with you,
you can.
I feel that rock's just being consumed a little differently, and I think these last 5 years we've seen bands grow, like these bands that, like a Volbeat, for example, that hasn't had MTV to break them, but has had music festivals, had bloggers, has incredible management.
Goes back to the old school word of mouth.
Exactly.
Right.
I think artist development now has become more important, where, you know, that's my background. I come from Interscope Records. That's how I cut my cloth in this business. Artist development was so important to breaking bands. Lady Gaga broke off of artist development before she went to radio.
Mm.
LMFAO, same thing. So you have pop bands breaking the
old. It can still happen.
It still does happen. Just rock has had a second to get itself figured out, because we were the first affected by the internet.
Mm-hmm.
When rock felt, the floor dropped on rock, that's when the internet hit. Hip hop had to deal with the same thing.
Right.
But now we're dealing in cycles. So, you know, with the way the country is and how people, there's a lack of angst, that's when rock's at its prime.
It's best, yeah.
Punk rock is going to be big right now with the way way this country's thinking, and I think it's going to be a resurgence of rock, because you're allowing it to be real again, organic, and that's when the proof is in the pudding, and your content's good.
It's still funny too when we're talking about being music fans. Like, rock fans still enjoy buying a CD, reading the lyrics, having an album, which, if you're talking about pop music, I mean, Gaga has it, right? But most of them are just singles. Mm-hmm. Rock and roll still hasn't gone that way. And I'm not sure if it, I'm sure at some point it will for some bands, but there's still the element of having a full 10, 12 song record and the journey that it takes you on. You know, I still think that there are these elements of rock and roll that still keep it different from the rest, like you said.
Well, I think that's why the internet has actually been good for rock.
Right.
At the end of the day, maybe it's been bad for certain labels, majors particularly. But I think now it's on the content as the record. Now you have to listen to the record, because there's no MTV giving you one song. That's all you're getting. There's no, you know, there is radio, but it's not consumed the same, because there's Spotify, there's podcasts, there's all these other ways of ingesting music, or TV licensing or video games, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're discovering bands that way. So to the point where now it's all of that in one, where you have to be doing everything. You got to play the shows. You got to have the songs, but you got to have the record. You got to have the art. You got to have the brand, because you can't fake bullshit now.
You can read.
We know a band we see them when they're showcasing. We know when you're full of shit.
Right, sure.
Very easy
to
see.
And it's easy to smell. The fans can smell that too.
Isn't it funny that we're basically in 2017, and I recently reread Steven Tyler's book, and how they played Toledo 6 times, and it's going back to like 1974 again in a great way.
Word of mouth. Cool. Playing, that's how Maiden made their huge wave in the early 80s. They got no radio play. There was no videos. It was just touring.
It's
playing. Exactly. Yeah. Is there any bands that you have a wish list of hoping to get for your festivals at some point?
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, okay.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah. Not Prophets of Rage.
Yeah, who we like a lot.
Still love
Prophets.
Yeah. Tool.
Mm-hmm.
System of a Down. Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, yeah, that would be a good
What up,
one.
Dave?
Yeah. Dave, once again, bro. You got mentioned twice. You owe me $50.
Ohio.
I got your shots waiting at the Sunset Marquee.
He's from Ohio.
He is.
He used to hang out at McDonald's. Right? But no, we're humbled and by any band. It's so funny. Any band that confirms, I still get giddy. Any band. Like, yeah, we're in. I'm like, awesome.
You want to be involved with us? With us?
Yeah. I'll tell you my dream, though. If Gary, you got to make this happen. Get Led Zeppelin reunion.
Oh, okay. Wow. There you
please. Go. It's going to be hard because my favorite drummer in the world is dead.
Yeah. At least it's his son, but I think I think Plant is the issue with that.
I know. That's right. A dream.
Yeah.
The band taught me to play guitar. It's probably one of the big reasons I'm in music. So,
did you guys go to any festivals when you were kids? You remember kind of the experience that kind of got you into it?
That's the thing. You know, like, it wasn't huge in America. Mm-hmm. I did go to the festival that changed my life was the US Festival.
Did you go?
I went, dude.
I was going to ask. That's one of my favorite. I have the whole thing on video. I got in Japan. I love that.
Yeah. So, funny story. I went to day 3, not day 2, which was Bowie.
Day 2 was the metal day.
Yes, it was.
Day 3 was kind of the pop.
Well, there was
rock.
This young band who played third called U2. Which was still what's your greatest show, what's the best show you've ever seen? U2 at the US Festival.
Wow.
Because Bono had they had to prove it to the world. Mm-hmm. And he was in the crowd, he was up on the risers, you've seen it with the white flag.
He did that at Live Aid too, though. He was a god from the moment he started.
Yeah.
That presence that he had,
right?
You could see that.
I as a promoter, I want to see this, I don't, but I do. I want to see the stage blow up. You know, I need to see that. I need to, or I get bored.
Right,
I think the typical fan does too. So I went to the US Festival, and at the time I was, you know, really into this was my Elvis Costello, Clash, you know, Joe Jackson era. So I didn't go to day 2, but my car got broken into. And this was the era of cassettes in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole shitload, everything was stolen from my car, but my thing of cassettes. Because I think it was like metal dudes who looked at my cassettes was like Elvis Costello and The Clash. They're like, I don't want this shit. So they stole everything but my cassettes.
That's probably what it was. Uh-huh. Did you ever go to any festivals?
Honestly, I watched it on MTV. You know, I saw the Woodstock.
The Woodstock 99 or whatever it was.
Probably a little bit too young to really ingest and get. And obviously, my mom probably wouldn't have let me. I got grounded for Motley Crue cassettes.
There you go, right.
But you know, I went to Warped Tour when I was a kid. That was a big, big moment for me. And watching the Woodstock, I remember all the mud being thrown at Green Day.
Right, sure.
Who at the Warped Tour? Kind of who at the Warped Tour stands out for you during that era?
Oh, you know, I was there. I was there for Pennywise, man. I was there for the punk rock. I mean, that's why I was there.
That's
Story of the Year
thing,
was big for me at that time.
Do you ever have any relationship with Kevin Lyman at all, who's the promoter of Warped?
You bet.
Strategies or just kind of buddies?
Yeah, there was one time a couple years ago where me and him were, the metal community was really down on us.
Why?
Because it was during the last year of Mayhem,
mm-hmm.
which he was part of. And, you know, punk bands used to always seem to play together easier. Bad Religion, Pennywise, Rancid, you know, they always seem to be able to, the metal bands have a hard time going out together. I'm not going to play after that. I'm not going to be on the same ad line as that band.
Still have that?
Not as much, but a couple years ago, Kevin and I stood up and said, yeah, that's always been an issue with the metal community as opposed to the punk community. The punk rock bands seem to get along more.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of shit for that. So Kevin and I actually saw each other at a Dodger game. Right when this was going down, and we kind of united on that. He's a good man.
That's cool.
His heart's in the right place.
Have you? Who are some of your favorite bands to deal with that you've had? You ever hang out with them at any point in time, or you just leave them alone, or?
Yeah, because the more you hang out with them, the more like creepy you get. And, we do have some special relationships. Papa Roach is a house band.
Oh, sure,
for us.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. One, they care,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they always show up. You know, I love bands that just are all just.
Which, there. Now, when you're saying this, people may be going, well, of course, in the show, but there's still some bands that, like, there's nothing worse than in 2016 when there's rock stars and they don't show up, or they don't want to do something, or they don't give a shit. That doesn't fly as much as they get used to back in the day, right?
A great, Andy Gould, good friend to us, said, if you care more than the band does, you got to not work with that band.
Problem, yeah. That's a great point.
Tons of bands, dude.
I mean, I'm super close to the Five Finger guys. Chris Cale's. It's a cool thing. Me and Chris kind of came up in the business together before he got when I got hired to work for Danny, Chris got his job with Five Finger, and we've kind of grown in the business together. So I'm Ivan's a Denver boy, and I'm from Denver.
Oh, yeah, right on.
I go back with Ivan a little bit. Like, they've become good friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But Jacoby, I geek out a little bit because I'm a fan, listen to Papa Roach's first record on K-Rock. And you're in Last Resort, and all of a sudden Jacoby texts me. He's like, check out my new single. What do you think?
Yeah, like, I got that text too.
Yeah, I'm like, it's rad, dude. It's fire.
Jacoby's a smart man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know?
So, no, tons of them. Yeah, we talked about Five Finger and Hailstorm. To see them rise up in the ranks with us,
mm-hmm.
That's a special relationship. Yeah, but I also do make a point. We all do to not, you know, there's boundaries, man. You know, and that's actually one question I had for you.
All right.
I had two questions for you.
All right. Actually. Woo. Turn it on me.
First one is, do you get off more in playing in front of a Rock on the Range or Northern Invasion, more in front of 25, 30,000 people, or a Fozzy headline show that's packed for smaller than that?
Yeah, 500 or something, or 1,000.
Yeah. Is it a different approach? Or
hey, man, our rule, and that goes for all the guys in our band, because as you know, a band is a four-way marriage or a five-way marriage, and there's no room for assholes or rock stars. And over the years, we've had a couple, but our lineup of guys, it's the three of us in the core, but now the five of us, we get along, we have fun. But all of our mindset is 10 or 10,000. And we, you know, you don't have shows of 10 anymore, but you still get the couple stinker crowds, but it doesn't matter. You don't punish the people who showed up. You don't punish the people who paid a ticket. I don't care if it's 100 or whatever it may be. And the other side of the coin is you're playing in front of 50,000 people. That's a whole other world, because you might have 30,000 people that have no idea who you are. So that's a whole other thing too. So I find it's obviously, when it's your own show, everyone's there to see you. It's a fun time. It's a blast. But the bigger ones are harder to play, even though there's more people, because some of them don't know you. But those are also fun as well. And that's when you can kind of climb the rafters up into the, you know, the climbing the side of the stage and all that stuff. So to me, every show is Madison Square Garden. Every show is Rock on the Range. Every show is Carolina Rebellion. And if you act that way, people will always come back and the world will spread, because we always see nobody leaves one of our shows not having a smile on their face or not having a good time. And that's even for people who don't know who we are, because that's our chance, you know. It's great to play to preach to the choir, but it's more of a challenge to get that guy in the front row with his arms crossed that finally uncrosses him at the end and goes, yeah. You know, Shadows and I talk about that quite often. I look for those guys.
Right.
I will jump right in and sing right to their face, even when they're not even looking at me. I remember we played Manchester one time. We were on tour with Drowning Pool or something. There was one guy who just would not budge. And I was right in his face and right in his face. And I was like, dude, what do I going to have to do to make you smile? Do you want me to kiss you on the cheek? And that made him smile. And I was like, I gotcha. Uh-huh. And then he went tough again. But I got him. I got him. So that's kind of the vibe.
Now, you talk to like a stand-up comedian, and they'll be in front of, you know, 1,000 people, but they're stand-up comedians are weird. They're mm-hmm. they're like self-deprecating,
tortured
to the max.
Humans. Yeah,
they'll like pinpoint that. But that one dude in the third in the mm-hmm. back was not even smiling.
That's right. You can't be that way.
So, right.
Yeah, you can't be that way. You know. What was your other question?
The other question was, you are an artist,
mm-hmm.
but you also are a businessman too.
Mm-hmm.
How do you separate the two, or do you?
I think. Well, first of all, like for me, I think one of the biggest challenges is because, you know, I'm coming from a wrestling world. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, I wanted to be in a rock band and I wanted to be a wrestler. And I never saw the reason why I couldn't do them both. And there's a great Paul Stanley quote from the metal years, was it called? The Penelope Spheres, the Decline of the Western Civilization.
Yeah.
Where he says, the only people that tell you can't do something are the ones that have failed. He said, I'm not going to tell you can't do something because I did it. You can do it. And I was like, oh, well, Paul Stanley says I can do it. So I think I've always had a duality, and because I come from the world of wrestling, I think we have to work twice as hard to get people's respect sometimes, but once we get it, we got it for life. And I'm sure Jared Leto went through that. I'm sure Taylor Momsen goes through it. And we're kind of used to that at this point, which is another reason why the 10 or 10,000, like, we'll fucking outwork anybody to get it, because that's what we've always done. So if you can always come at it like, I think sometimes people might think, oh, it's a Fozzy thing, it's just a wrestling thing, or it's a vanity project. And when they realize it's not,
then they really get into it. I think Johnny Depp is having that right now with Hollywood Vampires. You know, he's got, because talking with Shep Gordon and Alice, they both love him because he's not Johnny Depp. He doesn't want anything special. He just wants to play music.
The rhythm guitar player in the
band.
That's
right. And I'm the singer of Fozzy. And it's like, well, what do you, like, you sleep on the bus? Of course I sleep on the bus. And, we, you know, we eat the roast chicken that's in the dressing room. And if it's cold, we put a jacket on. Like, I'm not getting picked up by my handlers and getting taken somewhere else. So that's how I keep it separate, because it's real. It's not just a passion. It's part of who I am. I'll be playing music, whether it's in front of 100,000 people or seven people at a coffee shop. It's what I do. And the business aspect, I think you have to be smart. I remember talking with Zach years ago, and he's like, oh, you know, I don't worry about the business stuff. I just worry about the music stuff. And like, I never saw it that way. You have to be on top of the business. I find myself very in tune with Paul and Gene, or with Lars, because he's involved with every single aspect of the show. But the stuff he's not, like, for me, like, songwriting wise, I'm not involved in every aspect, because Rich Ward is better at that than I am. So I'll put the lyrics in, and he does the melodies and the music. So, but then I'll put the sandwich board on and promote it, you know, and come and do the dirty work to get that done. So I think the biggest thing about being in a band is knowing what everyone's strengths are, and don't try and be involved in everything. Let the dudes who do their best, I'm sure you guys deal with it as well, putting on Carolina Rebellion. You're not going to get involved in what Gary does. Gary's not getting involved in what you do. Give you guys the respect to do the job. You know what I mean?
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens with us.
Sure.
We divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And yeah, you play to the strengths and hire people that are better than you.
Yeah, for that, yeah. Just a couple last questions. Have you guys, I'm going to bring up a Spinal Tap moment, if you guys have ever had any of those or seen any of them. I had a great one at Rock in the Range. Kerry King, Slayer, loves Fozzy. He loves our vibe, whatever, likes what we do. So whenever we play together, he always comes and watches. And it was funny because there's a great picture that someone took of Kerry's bald head with the giant, like, evil guy on it watching, and then I'm standing in front. So I see Kerry, I'm like, I'm going to do a big jump off the drum riser, like a David Lee Roth special for the end. So I jump off the drum riser, and I land, and I fall down. I slipped and fell, and I'm like, King is going to never let this go. So as I slipped and fell, I deftly rolled, I took off my pack, and I jumped into the crowd all in one motion, and crowd surfed, they brought me back in. And
I was there for that. So that, I didn't put that together.
So King was like, he goes, you asshole. He goes, I was going to bury you for the rest of your life on falling on the Roth jump. And then you pulled out of it and still made it cool. I was like, I couldn't fall in front of you, especially you, you son of a bitch. So have you ever had any of those or seen any of those moments on stage?
Yes. not me personally, but we had Judas Priest headline Rock on the Range. Mm. And Priest demands kind of the silicon thing on the stage that makes him easy to walk and slip and slither around.
Mm.
And it was kind of raining. And it was Judas Priest, Godsmack, Papa Roach. So go back to Jacoby. So Jacoby, it was kind of raining. They were the third before, and it was packed house. And they, if you've seen Papa Roach, they move around a lot. Mm-hmm. And he was constantly like slipping and moving. And he gets off. I'm like, dude, that was such a great show. He's like, what's up with your stage, man? And like, not in a hateful way.
Sure.
But I had to, and I just put it together immediately, like, oh yeah, Judas Priest is playing. That's their stage, and he's like, "Okay, and Rob Halford."
You can't yell at that now. It's Halford's request. Sorry,
but
buddy.
He was. I'm like, yeah, he was slipping around a lot more.
It was there, right?
And then the other one at Rock in the Range comes to mind is Scott Weiland's performance. May he rest in peace. He was not well and not his A game, Scott Weiland. And another rain story, I guess, but. Rock on the Range, as Clay said, and all our festivals, Northern Invasion, Carolina Rebellion, the fans like bring their A game. But this was the first time where I think an artist was in jeopardy of getting booed off stage.
Wow.
And fortunately, a crazy rainstorm came, and it's just something connected between Scott Weiland's band and the crowd, and it saved him. And it kind of like woke him up from this foggy, weird daze that he was in. Mm. Like maybe the rain, the wetness kind of energized him. But that was, I don't know if that answers the question, but I remember
that. Yeah.
Yeah, that it could have been a very uncomfortable moment with my
boy
Scott.
Do you see that from
Weiland.
Time to time of obviously no names need to be mentioned, of seeing guys backstage who are totally out of their minds or messed up, where you're like, God, dude, this guy's not going to do good tonight.
And not as really. Much as you would think, you know, people are...
Guys have changed,
goes,
haven't they?
Well, that goes to the stereotype of what Gary kind of we deal with, and I deal with on the brand levels, that they still think it's this crazy... cocaine off strippers' tits in the backstage and everyone's cheating on their wives. No, rock and roll's a business.
It's changed, right? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, dude. Yeah. It's fucking boring back there.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I just hang out in the press tent and do press because there's nothing to do.
But you guys have to take care of yourselves, and we have to take care of ourselves because we travel all the time.
Yeah.
And if you're sick, you can't perform, and then you can't perform, all of a sudden your business gets
Yeah, your business is down. So. Especially at a show like your guys' show, any one of them, you want to get that good review so you get invited back. Mm-hmm. You know, all it takes is one stinky show, and you might not be involved for the next
few years. The internet has made everyone honest.
Yeah.
And everybody's a journalist, right? Right.
But I want to answer my moment.
Please.
He is Squeegee Man. We got it. The Rebellion.
Squeegee Man.
Do you know about the Squeegee
Man? No, I don't.
So Rebellion, during when we were figuring out what we were going to do with the rain, you know, we had to keep the stages clean and got to keep them dry. And throughout the weekend, there's this one stage guy kept squeegeeing the stages, and he ended up turning into a celebrity. And this was the year we ended up canceling. Hollywood Undead ended up bringing him out before the cancellation happened. And he's rocking out. And the crowd starts chanting, Squeegee Man, Squeegee Man. And literally because we were being safe and not having the bands go on stage, just, we weren't evacuating anything. It just wasn't safe for the bands to play. We created this celebrity at Carolina Rebellion. And now he's online. He's got his own merch. He's the mayor of Rock City.
He's the mascot. Yeah.
He has his own Facebook page, and he's the mayor of Carolina Rebellion.
The girls give him his number when he walks through the ground. He's got a pass for life with us. And he's the Squeegee Man, and he rocks it. And we made him into a little Carolina Rebellion celebrity.
Do you guys have to?
This too much about rain. Anybody listening?
There's gonna be no rain. There's no rain.
It'd be beautiful.
There's no
out there.
Is there? Do you guys have to, like, if a band has a rider, do you guys have to provide that? And if so, has there been any really strange requests?
I used to, when I first started with Danny, I used to go through these pretty in-depth, and nothing crazy, not the cottage cheese in the football helmet, right, or, you know, anything.
Even
like
when
that.
Axl played, but it was okay?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, you get the green M&Ms, but I know the bands do that because they want to make sure you're reading the rider.
That's why Van Halen did it, right? The classic, so. Just M&Ms with all the brown ones removed.
It's veggie plates, and, you know, some bands are vegan, so nothing crazy.
God, it's nothing boring.
Slayer demands that their food not be cold.
Okay. I mean, boy, what prima donnas, right?
I can't tell you what Manson, his rider has, but, you know, I'm sure he has some very unique requests.
Yeah.
In that
I'm going to change that. So, Fozzie, we want a rabbit hutch, and we want, I heard one time that Axl wanted fresh lamb roast. I want a donkey backstage. I want a tricycle. I'm going to put all this stuff on the rider.
Note about Fozzie for next year.
Just the Visqueen, the whole dressing room is the funny, I guess, request we'll get from time to time. That's from the tour manager.
What is it?
Visqueen. You know,
what is that?
That's the plastic that we'd use, the waterproof stuff.
Oh.
So we'll have a couple requests. I'm not going to name any bands, but there'll be some requests. We need the Visqueen in the room.
There you go. All right.
You know what's going on there.
Last question. What's your favorite concert you've ever seen at any time or place through your whole life? Is there one that stands out?
I'll go first because I'm sure you have much better story than I do. It was Smashing Pumpkins, McNichol Sports Arena. It's a Barry Fay show. And it was my first concert I went to by myself.
Old school, too. McNichol Sports Arena.
McNichol Sports Arena. Melancholy Infant Sadness Tour. It was right after, unfortunately, they had the drug overdose of the keyboardist. Yeah. And they brought the filter drummer to play. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy Chamberlain was in the band that time. But I got Yeehaw and I got Billy Corgan. And that was when they were rocking, man. It was probably a game-changing
I think in the history of rock and roll, it's a pretty underrated band for how influential and how good they are.
That's
Smashing Pumpkins.
Big, important band for me personally. Like, huge.
They'd be
huge
good on a Rock in the Range bill.
They played 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Me, I got three quick ones.
Please.
I mentioned one. U2 at the US Festival.
Oh,
changed my life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you without that performance and that festival. I saw Rage Against the Machine at the Roxy. It was a warm-up for what was supposed to be the Rage Against the Machine Beastie Boys Stadium Tour. And then Mike D., like Bono, like broke his arm bike riding in Central Park. But I don't know if it ever got to the world that was a tour.
Wow, I never heard that before.
So Rage did a warm-up. I'm telling you guys, there was sweat coming from the ceiling. It was so killer. And then recently, I had the opportunity, I was one of the lucky 400 to go see Guns N' Roses at the Troubadour.
Wow. That's the night that he broke his axe, broke his foot, right?
Yeah, like in the second song, but we didn't know it.
Dude, and that was the first one.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, that was a special night. I was in the pit. I was a fan.
You got to YouTube the video because you'll see Gary, Danny Wimmer in the pit. being a fan. It goes back to us being fans. They were fans. And it's not just them. Agents, like Hollywood heavyweights.
Oh, dude, yeah, you leave all that stuff at the door when you walk in. All the years we waited for that, and then suddenly, even just seeing, I saw him in Orlando at the stadium, and it was in Slash. We've toured with Slash and toured with Duff, but to see that lineup,
that front line,
those three dudes, it was like, oh, it was you one bet. Of the best shows I've ever seen.
What about you?
For me, go ahead.
I want to add one more, and then real quick. Gary took me to Temple of the Dog a couple weeks ago, and that was a moment for me see a band that I only knew through.
Just
listening
heard of
and
the
heard
song,
him.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were ever going to play a show. To see that in Cornell.
I'm a huge Mother Love Bone fan. Dude, I love Andrew Wood, man.
Andrew, he was been quoted so many times that he would play in front of 10 people, but he treated it like it was 100.
He would talk to the back row, which was also the front row.
Right.
Yeah. Mine,
Stardock Champion.
That's it, man. Oh, this is Shangri-La. Holy roll. I love that band. Mm. For me, Iron Maiden Power Slave Tour 1984. With Twisted Sister as the opener, which in 1984 was like the two biggest bands you can have, and just seeing the spectacle of the giant Eddie, and I don't even remember sonically if it was any good, but I just remember the visual of it and getting to see Iron Maiden, and then also the 30th anniversary of Metallica show when they did the Fillmore. Oh, wow. And they did four nights, and they did 80 songs in four nights, and the only one that they played every night was Seek and Destroy. The rest was all different from
the
rest.
Did you go all four?
I went to two of them,
but
then I listened. But I mean, it's 76 songs they learned, and just to see that. And then anytime I see the Stones or McCartney, soundtrack to your life, you know, that you can't see a bad Stones show or a bad McCartney show to this day. So lots of great.
First record you ever bought?
Well, I started as a Beatles fan, so they're all Beatles stuff. But first metal record I bought was Ozzy, Blizzard of Oz.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for that was because when I went to junior high school and I had my homemade Beatles shirt, people were laughing at me because it wasn't cool like the Beatles back then.
Right.
And plus, all the chicks were wearing Ozzy shirts and Maiden shirts. And I was like, if I ever want to try and get a date with any of these girls, maybe I should try and listen to some of that music. So, yeah, but Blizzard of Oz is not that much different from a Beatles. I mean, it's a heavy Beatles, but like Goodbye to Romance, it's a Beatles song, dude. You can hear the difference.
Ozzy would love to hear that from you.
Oh, I would. Yeah, he's on my must-have list.
Because he's a Beatles kid.
He would appreciate that, I think, times under. Yours, first album?
It was Fleetwood Mac Rumors.
Ah, classic.
And Beatles Live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Ah, you know, look, that's it, man.
They actually just came out with a remaster of it.
I saw that. I haven't bought it yet.
Actually,
I went to the Hollywood Bowl a couple times, and all I ever think about when I'm there is like, Beatles Live at the Hollywood Bowl. They played here.
That was my So are you more of, I'm going to go with Revolver as your favorite Beatles record?
No. You can't go wrong with basically any of them, but I'm an Abbey Road guy. That's mine.
Yeah.
The White Album's pretty damn cool, too.
No shit.
It's funny because what I didn't know is that Charlie Benanti from Anthrax is a huge Beatles fanatic, and he and I are really tight, and it was because of the Beatles that we became friends, like really close.
That's awesome.
So when you get those Beatles boys, you know, that know all the minutia of it.
Anthrax
know?
Is rad because, again, I the second time I'm going to mention Joe Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Got the time. Yeah, because they're kind of, Anthrax is kind of punk rockers.
But also, too, Charlie, Scott to an extent, but Charlie loves all that stuff. He loves Joe Jackson. He loves Dave Matthews. He loves Husker Du. He's got a huge like Bowie and all that stuff. You know, that's I think that's what brings together a great band is having influences like Rich Ward from Fozzy. His favorite band is like Styx and Journey, and he also loves Kool and the Gang, and he loves you know, obscure 70s bands like Player, and all that stuff comes in through our music because it gets a little groove. The groove is there, the funk, you know, and I think that's what makes bands unique is it can't all be, I love Metallica, I love Sabbath. Right. You know, that gives you the variety, the diversity.
What was Player's big hit?
Mimic a Mac.
Oh, sure.
And don't you need to know? Or something.
Mimic a Mac. Isn't that the era of like Exile?
Yeah.
I wanna kiss you all over.
But all those guys in those bands sang. So you'd have a four-piece band and all four of them would be singing, including the drummer, who would have the shitty little mic stand right there.
Moving.
Yeah.
I wish you all could see what I just watched. Incredible.
We're being drummers with the thing.
Drummers.
Even Don Henley.
First arrive and last to leave.
That's it, right, exactly. Your last, what's your first album you had?
You guys have way better first albums than I do. Growing up in a Christian household.
Oh, nice. What's it gonna be?
Amy Grant.
Oh, I was gonna go for Petra, but Amy Grant.
Yeah, you got Amy Grant, and then and then my dad. The next two cassettes I got was Bon Jovi, Slippery Wet, and and Janet Jackson.
That's better.
Rhythm Nation.
Rhythm Nation.
Badass. There you go. Much better.
And then my first rock cassette was Motley Crue that I got grounded on.
Which one? Theater?
No, Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Feelgood. Okay. Guys, getting ready for the world's loudest month. This is going to be awesome, man. Thank you so much for doing this. Thanks
yeah,
for
dude. Love
us.
You. And Northern Invasion. That's the one I want to see everybody at to see Fozzy.
We're going
to
be the Northern Invasion. Baby, come back. All right, the Northern Invasion Rock Festival 2017 has been announced. May 13 and 14 in Somerset, Wisconsin. Soundgarden and Kid Rock headlining the Somerset Amphitheater in Somerset, Wisconsin. Fozzy's going to be playing there as well. The list of bands also playing are endless. Tickets available now at northerninvasion.com. Don't forget about Carolina Rebellion. Don't forget about Rock in the Range. And a big thanks to Gary and Clay of Danny Wimmer Presents for coming on TIJ to talk all things heavy metal and rock. Great stories about the festivals and bands. And man, you can't beat any of their festivals. Festival lineups. They give you a great bang for their buck, so get your tickets now, northerninvasion.com. And guess what? The latest podcast, the newest addition to the Jericho Network, Beyond the Darkness, debuts this Monday, December 19th. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis of Darkness Radio fame discuss all things paranormal. They've got a huge fan base, and they're bringing the brand over here to the Jericho Network. They've got expert researchers, ghost hunters, paranormal, cryptozoology, regular people who've experienced the unknown. Dave has taken part in hundreds of investigations, and Tim's experiences date back to his childhood when he was visited by his dead relatives. I know you guys are going to love this one, and to give you a sneak peek, on Friday, you're going to get Darkness Radio. Beyond the Darkness is going to be here on Talk is Jericho. You can have a nice sample to see if you like these guys, which I'm guaranteed they're going to creep you out. And they got their own podcast debuting on the Jericho Network at Podcast One. Beyond the Darkness, December 19th on Monday. Then, of course, we got Tame Tiger Awesome every Sunday morning. This week, they did create a Star Wars character, which was hilarious. Got to check that out. Crap Dude Fighter was my favorite character they created. And don't forget, Super Smart Wrestling Discussion and Analysis with Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus. Conan is on this week, extending the olive branch to Cyrus to join him on Keeping It 100 with Conan and to settle his feud with Disco Inferno. Conan and his crew are on Thursdays, and of course, Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes. Leave everyone on the Jericho Network a 5-star rating and review. Thank you all for supporting the show and supporting the sponsors. Don't forget my OG sponsor, Amazon. You can find the Amazon links at podcast1.com. Click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page and hit the Talk is Jericho button. You got them links for USA, UK, Canada. No extra fees or hidden charges every time you buy something. Amazon kicks back a couple bucks to the show to cover production costs. It's Christmas time. I did all my shopping on Amazon. If you're going to do the same, do it through the Talk is Jericho links. Just go to podcast1.com, click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. All right, you find all the rest of my great sponsors there. DDPYoga.com. Buy a max pack or a combo pack, get a second for 50% off. What a deal. What a bargain. Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter my promo code Jericho in the search bar. You get the family gift pack for $49.99. Another huge, huge deal. Jack Threads. Go to jackthreads.com. Enter my promo code Jericho. When you submit your tryout, get 20% off anything you keep and send back whatever you don't want for free. And don't forget, March 15th, 2017, 87 days and counting, it's the biggest podcast ever when Mick Foley joins Talk is Jericho for the first time. Thank you so much for listening. I know you're going to love that show and love all the future shows coming up. And keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. Like I said, on Friday, Dave and Tim from Beyond the Darkness. They're debuting on the Jericho Network this Monday, December 19th. And they're going to be here on Friday on Talk is Jericho, talking all things paranormal. Be prepared to be freaked out by the Black-Eyed Kids, Bloody Bones Man, Bigfoot Ghosts, and some of the out-of-body experiences that Tim has had in his life. It is a tremendous, intriguing, creepy conversation. And just a taste of what you're going to get on the newest podcast of the Jericho Network, Beyond the Darkness, here this Friday. We'll see you then. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.